Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message.
It's time to get hyped. We got some of our Relevant students up here showing some of what they're great at, showing some mad skills. We got the Schlechter brothers about to break our big screen. We got Brooklyn and Maddie, future Husker volleyball players, obviously. Phoebe, incredible dancer. We got Jimmy hooping, just hooping. We got Jacob, he's obviously a tennis player. What else you got, Jay? What else you good at? He's good at math. He's gonna be all of our bosses someday. Hey, let's hear it for these Relevant students. Woo, incredible. Wow. Showing off their skills. Woo, that was straight up fire, wasn't it? That was hype. Oh, here's Ronnie showing his skills.
Yeah.
He's good at bringing my stand out. He's good at baptizing. He's got some skills. Good job, Ronnie. Well, man, like me and the kids like to say, that slapped. I mean, that was incredible. Whatever phrase you want to use now to describe an awesome display of bussin' skills, I mean, you guys didn't know I was so drip, did you? These kids down here are like going, oh, the old guy is trying to say cool stuff. Well, you can keep that picture in your head this morning as we talk about what I promised to bring you this week. Something new and huge that I discovered about God that has revitalized my faith and is totally changing how my wife Lori and I, I wanted to get her name in there. Just our whole outlook and approach when we are in the middle of pivotal circumstances or when we're walking with somebody else through one. If you missed last week, you can check it out online as we kicked off this three-week series called Purpose in the Pivotal. But here's a quick recap to catch you up. We explored the cold, hard fact last week that what's known here at Relevant as pivotal circumstances come for all of us. We're either right in the big, fat middle of one, we've just come out of one, or one's just around the corner. It's just reality. We all know and experience these pivotal circumstances. You know, we're going one way, full steam in life, and then something comes along clearly out of the blue. Something seems like out of nowhere that just changes our trajectory, throws us off our path. I heard from so many of you this week, after the gatherings last week or during the week, even some Facebook posts about difficult, course-changing, pivotal circumstances that you're going through. There's a lot of hard stuff going on out there. So know that you're not alone if you're going through a pivotal circumstance. And Jesus told us to expect these. He told us to expect the pivotal because it's a reality for everyone. He says the rain and the storms come on the evil and the good, everybody. It's that frightening medical diagnosis we didn't see coming. That relational explosion that was not on our radar. He walks out. She finds somebody else. They disappear or leave us. Our finances hit a rough patch that we're not sure if we're going to recover from. That addiction you thought was mastered, rearing its ugly head again. Your boss tells you to take a hike after a long tenure. Pivotal circumstances that we all face in life. And we were all depressed last week within the first 2 minutes of the message, and you were kind of like, hey, fill in, speaker guy. You know, stay in your lane. Don't weigh me down. You know, bring something good here. But then I highlighted for you that this journey that God has taken me on through my pivotal circumstance at 63 years old of losing a great job that I planned to retire from, but that was clearly not going to happen with what I described to you last week, and how God turned that situation into, from God, what are we going to do? You know, companies don't hire old guys. What are we going to do? God turned that around from there to a surprising, no, this is about me and God. God was very clear in this pivotal circumstance that this one's going to be different. This is about you and me. You and me. I want you to figure out how to chase me alone. Go after me, not after the thing that's going to fix your pivotal circumstance. Figure out what it looks like to go after me. And a big game-changing lesson we talked about last week is that we all have an opportunity in our pivotal circumstances to have as much God as we want. We have as much God as you want. Jesus said, I'm standing here at the door of every pivotal circumstance you have. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, waiting for us to open the door, invite him into our pivotal every moment of every day that we're going through it. So we concluded last week that one purpose we could mark down as we go through these life-altering episodes is that we have the opportunity to get to know God better. We may not get everything on our wish list. We may not get the answer we want to all of our questions we have, or maybe we will. But above all, we have the incredible privilege and undeserved opportunity to get to know the God of the universe better in these pivotal circumstances. That's a pretty incredible turn of events from some of our typical responses to the pivotal that we discussed last week. Responses like, why me, God? Or where were you? Where are you? What are we going to do? They suck. This is all their fault. I'm going to spend my energy taking it out on them for this pivotal circumstance. Now we have the opportunity to do a complete 180 with God from those typical responses in our pivotal circumstances. So now we're all caught up, memories refreshed. We need to talk about the rest of the story because it is dope. That means really amazing for those of you who don't talk like me and the kids talk. Not the kind of dope some of you are thinking about from high school, not that. Okay, so here we go. So I told you last week that God grabbed a hold of me right away when I was talking with him about my pivotal circumstance, and he sent me on this discovery mission to learn what it looks like to chase after him alone. Not after the thing I needed or wanted to fix my pivotal circumstance. And I told you that one of my spiritual mentors challenged me to do this 30-day experiment where I spent 2 hours a day reading and praying through massive amounts of scripture and then just journaling whatever God put on my mind to pray to him. I was having this incredible experience with God and really learning about the God of my search. I was getting to know the God of my search better, and how he was transforming me into a different person in my search. I'm a person at almost total peace and rest in him, and filling me up with faith and trust in him more every day. It was an awesome time. My journal was full of entries like this as I read through one of the Psalms in the Old Testament. I wrote, "We wait for the Lord. He's our deliverer and protector. Our hearts rejoice in him, chasing after you, for we trust in his holy name. God, we wait for you. May we experience your faithfulness." Great message for me this morning, Father. Just when I was getting a little impatient in my heart last night, wondering if more should have happened, if more should be popping up right now, if I need to make something happen, just as that was beginning to rise up in me, your very clear and very strong message for me today, wait for the Lord. Give him a chance to display his faithfulness. I wait patiently for you to display your faithfulness in this. I wait while I'm faithful to do whatever you direct me to do. So this was not even 3 weeks from that Black Monday that I told you about when my boss said, hit the road. Not even quite 3 weeks. And I decided around that time to connect with a former boss of mine. Let's call her Amanda to protect the innocent. And ask her if she had any openings for me or had her new company or knew of anything out there in the marketing world. And you know, she'd been around a while. She said, "No, I don't have anything on my team. You know I would hire you in a heartbeat, but I just don't have anything, and I'm not going to have anything anytime soon." just, you know, nothing here. And she said, I'm so new at this company. It's a huge company, 18,000 people that she was at. She said, I don't really have any influence elsewhere in the company. I'm just too new. So I don't really know of anything, you know, there, or don't know of anything out there in the marketing world. So why don't you just send me your resume anyway, and I'll send it to my boss, and let's do lunch tomorrow and just talk through your job search strategy. Just talk about how you're going to do it, and maybe I'll have some thoughts for you. I said, that's great. I really appreciate you sending that to your boss. But I was very clear with her that I had almost zero anxiety and worry about this because God had made it clear he's got this. Now, you need to know that Amanda is not a Christ follower. She doesn't believe in the same God I do. And we've had lots of conversations over the years. I've worked with her a couple of times over 15 years. And we've had conversations about me being a follower of Christ and my faith being in the one true God. So she knows where my trust is, and I told her in this conversation that it's squarely there again, probably more than ever. So I sent her my resume and went back to seizing the opportunity in this pivotal circumstance to get to know God better and to do the stuff on my wife's to-do list she has come up with me since I got some time on my hands. Amanda sent me an email that night that she had sent to her boss, and it said, aside from my eldest daughter, this is the one person in the world I would vouch for. And she has another daughter. So I got on top of that. I'm like number two. Like, this is sweet. I mean, that's great. She's also married. But anyway, this is my journal entry the next morning when I was set to meet with Amanda for lunch. I wrote, God, no pressure, but I want to speak about you with Amanda and others today in a way that puts your reputation on the line. I hope you don't mind. Side note, one of the things I had picked up in praying through Scripture is that these people of God I was reading about were very bold in their asks of God. They would say stuff like, God, do this now. God, move here right now. Show how great you are. Show them who you are. And I was like, man, that's so bold. Is that okay to talk to God like that? I mean, that just seems sort of like they're very boldly, very regularly put God's reputation on the line by asking him to put his God skills on display for all to see. I was very intrigued by that. I finished my journal entry that day by writing, I want people to know that I trust you wholeheartedly to come through and provide for us. You've never failed and you won't start now. Me and Lori in this job search are firmly in your hands, and we ask you again to act, to move, to make it crystal clear what you want. And I went to lunch to discuss my job search strategy with my former boss. I will always remember the details of that day. We met at Double Zero Pizza right here in Elkhorn. I know we should have met at Chick-fil-A. She's a vegetarian, so it's a character flaw. We've talked about it. She doesn't like Chick-fil-A. You can pray for her. I got there first, and I was waiting for her, and she came in a hurry and plopped down in the booth and said, well, someone up there is taking care of you. And I go, oh, well, yeah, I know that, but why do you say that? She said, at 10 a.m. this morning, before I came to meet with you, a guy on my team resigned. I was like, oh, interesting. There's more. She said, so I called my boss to talk to her about this guy resigning and told her, you know, this guy resigned and here's sort of my plan to, you know, post the position online and okay, we got to replace this guy, whatever. And her boss said to her, what about your guy? And she's like, my guy, what do you mean? She goes, the guy, you sent me his resume last night. What about him? Would he be good for this job? And she's like, oh yeah, he would be perfect for this job. And she's like, well, if you want to hire him today, hire him today. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Woo! Hey, you got to understand, this is a company of 18,000 people that's not easy to get into. My boss had to interview, had five rounds of interviews to get her job. And her boss says, if you want to hire him today, hire him today. So she offered me the job on the spot. Incredible. Seriously. Oh, incredible. I told her, no thanks. I think God's got something better for me. I'm going to hold out. You know, I think I can get more money somewhere else. No. I am slow, but I'm not stupid. I know God moving mountains when I see it, and I had never seen him move like that before. His God skills on display. Still blows me away to tell the story. Lori was having lunch with a couple friends of hers, Jen and Beth, at Firebirds. I busted into their lunch and told them the story. We made a scene in the restaurant, just celebrating. And Lori's friend, Beth, she got this sweet little southern voice, and she said, Andy, should we get up and dance in here right now? I said, yeah, maybe we should. I don't know. Maybe we did. I don't know. We may be banned from that place. I'm not sure. But incredible. I journaled this after that display. Unreal move by you, Father. This kind of thing doesn't happen. Only if you move in a unique and powerful way and do what only you could do. Thank you, thank you, thank you for moving so miraculously and in a way that your reputation is going to be lit. See, I do talk like that for real, you guys. I finished up my journal entry. Wow, you've outdone yourself. Now you're just showing off. You have shown us your glory in such an incredible, amazing, awe-inspiring way, and I can't wait to tell the story. And there it was. As I reflected over the next few weeks, got settled in my new job, great job, by the way, God provided incredibly. I was learning something new and huge about God that gave me a second purpose in the pivotal and would forever change the way we approach pivotal circumstances. Here's the money line. Here's what God revealed to me about himself and about how he can kick into action during our pivotal circumstances. God likes to show up and show out and show how great he is in the middle of our pivotal. God's mode of operation many times when we're navigating pivotal circumstances and we're asking for it and we're anticipating it and we're expecting it is that he loves to show up and show out and show his greatness for everybody watching. Some writers of scripture and the writer of that great song we sang earlier say it like this: God shows his glory in our gut-wrenching moments. God shows his glory. You can't even really describe what that is. It's just so like full of God and heavy and weighty and just the glory of God. You can't even describe it. But that gives us a massive purpose in our pivotal. God not only wants to move and act for our good because he's a good, good father. We'll talk about that next week. Don't miss it. Come back. He wants to show us his glory. He wants to put his God skills on display so that everybody watching will know without a doubt, we've just seen God. And we have no other response but to believe and put our faith in Jesus and bow before him when we see God show up like that. I always knew God was great. I always knew God did amazing things. I've seen his sick God skills so many times in my life, I can't tell you. But it had never clicked with me before that God likes this. He likes to show up and show out and show his glory in our pivotal. He likes it. It's who he is. When he shows up, that's who he is. But I started to wonder, is it okay to say that about God? That, you know, I wanted to test it out, see if it's true and okay to tell people that God likes to show up. He likes to show out. He likes to show how great he is, so that everyone will know without a doubt, we've just seen God. Is that an okay, reverent way to talk about God? And then I started to notice this everywhere I looked in Scripture. It's sort of like when you get a new car and you're like, oh, I didn't know there were so many Jeeps in this town. You start seeing them everywhere. But I started seeing it everywhere. He shows up and shows out in the very first words of Scripture when he created everything out of nothing. From the tiniest insect to entire solar systems that are still being discovered. That's some God skills. He showed up, like we sang earlier, and split the sea and hundreds of thousands of his chosen people walk across to safety, just like they're in the Omaha Aquarium or something. They got water all around them, fish. They're walking right across. They get across safe. And then God swallows up the army that's chasing them by the sea. He shows up and shows out when there's some guys that had refused to bow down to the king. They said, "We only bow down to God." And the king said, "All right, we're going to throw you in a furnace full of fire." And the fire was so hot that the guards putting them in died from the heat. They're in the fire, and they come out with not one singed hair. I mean, this is some God skills. He shows up and he shows out when all these prophets in the Old Testament have throwdowns with other prophets who worship other gods, and God destroys them every time. The one true God puts them down every time. Then we see God put his glory on display when Jesus, God in human form, comes and lives and walks in a little corner of the earth in the Middle East. I was reading through the accounts of Jesus' life from one of his best friends, John, and it struck me for the first time that the message of John, telling all about Jesus' life, his big message was what he said in the intro of the story. He wrote this: "The Word became flesh," talking about Jesus. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John recounted the stories of how they saw Jesus right there in their town, be born, grow up, live, do incredible things every day, die on the cross, come back to life again, and then jetpack into heaven. I mean, he said, "You guys all saw it. You saw it. You know it. You've seen his glory." We saw him stop a storm just like that, just with a word. Storm raging. He just says, "Peace," and it stops. He walks on the water. He heals every kind of disease known to man, all for the purpose of showing the glory of God so that people would believe in him and put their faith in him by asking him to forgive their sins and follow him the rest of their life, because they had seen his glory. They had seen Jesus show up and show out and show how great he was over and over and over again. And there was no other response that made sense than bowing down to him. One day, Jesus and his closest friends came up on a man who was born blind. And the disciples came up with one of our typical responses to pivotal circumstances. They said, "Hey, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's like this? You know, whose fault is this? We got to blame somebody. Whose fault is this?" And Jesus said, "Neither one. Neither one. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." This happened because you're going to see the works of God. Now, hold my Bible and watch this. He didn't say, "Hold my Bible." That's poetic license, but he could have. That would have been cool if he said, "Hold my Bible." You and everyone watching is going to see God's glory because of this man's lifelong pivotal circumstance. So he made some mud, rubbed it on the man's eyes, told him to go wash in a certain pool, and he came back seeing. People ask him, like, "What happened?" He's like, "I don't know. I was blind a few minutes ago. Now I can see. This guy healed me. I don't even know his name." Showing up and showing out. Incredible. Another time, one of Jesus' best friends got sick and died. And he may have died because Jesus delayed his trip to see him for a couple days. And he told his disciples when, you know, they sent word to Jesus, "Hey, your friend Lazarus is sick. You know, come take care of him." And he told his disciples then, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And they're like, "Okay. You know, I have no idea what that means. Great, sounds good. We're starting to get used to things that we don't understand." Then a couple days later, on their full day's walk to where his friend lived, Jesus said, "Oh yeah, guys, by the way, Lazarus died. And he said this, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there when he died so that you may believe." They're like, "What? You're glad you weren't there when he died so that we could believe? So weird. When they arrived where Lazarus and his family lived, Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. His sisters, Martha and Mary, ran out to meet Jesus separately, and they both said the same thing. Jesus, if you had just been here, Lazarus would be alive right now. Where were you if you had just been here? Another one of our pivotal circumstances response. The crowd around them jumped on the bandwagon and said, yeah, that's right. Isn't this the healer? He could have helped Lazarus, kept him from dying. Where were you? Don't you even care? Jesus was moved to tears that one of his best friends was dead and that his sisters were grieving so hard. So Jesus told them to take me to the grave and roll away the stone, to which Sister Martha said, Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. I mean, it's going to smell real bad. You'll roll it back. Then Jesus said something very interesting. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. I hold my Bible and watch this. Jesus prayed to God and shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus, why didn't you come sooner? Because you wouldn't have seen God's skills like this on display, like you just witnessed. And everybody watching knew, and everybody who heard this story knew, we have just seen God. We've just seen the glory of God, and it changed everything. From beginning to end and everywhere in between, the first message of Scripture is, there is one true God, and He is great. He is full of glory, and He delights in bringing that glory into our pivotal circumstances so that we and everybody watching knows we've just seen God. Just seen the glory of God, and nothing will ever be the same when He shows up like that. So what does all this mean for how we navigate our pivotal circumstances? This huge discovery about God has unlocked a new boldness in me to take a different approach to pivotal circumstances and pray and proclaim God in a whole new way. I discovered a second purpose in the pivotal to go along with our first one we talked about of getting to know God better. And it's this, a second opportunity we have when the pivotal comes. And it's the opportunity we have to ask God to show up and show out and show His glory in this for His sake, to make His name great. Not to ask Him to do something for me, for my good, although God does work all things together for good for those who go after Him. More on that next week. Don't miss it. We have the opportunity for God to show how great He is through us and through our pivotal circumstances to everyone watching. He can show His glory through us and through our pivotal circumstances. I wrote this in my journal at the time. God wants to show His glory through me in my life situations and show everyone watching this is what God does. Like with the job deal recently, God, I put your reputation on the line and anybody who was watching got to see you at work and acknowledge you. Thank you, I love you. God, brings some more situations where you move in such a way that you're glorified and we bring you glory by showing people you at work and praising your name and telling anybody watching, look what God did. Did I just ask God to bring some trials into my life so I could show His glory through them? Crazy. A second purpose in the pivotal. We have the opportunity in our pivotal for God to show up and show out and show His glory in a way that everybody watching knows we've just seen God. No doubt about it. God just flexed and showed up His God skills and everything changed. This changed the way that we prayed for Unfinished, our 2-year generosity initiative here at Relevant. If you remember, we believed God was leading us to try to raise $12 million in pledges for the Relevant Center expansion. And $12 million was a stretch. I mean, it was a huge stretch for us. God was going to have to come through in a big way for us to get anywhere close to that number. But at the very beginning of this, our elder couples sensed God was leading us not to pray for a number, not for him to provide a certain amount for us, or, hey, God, do this thing for us. We began praying for God to show us his glory in this. God, we said, we want you to move in such a way that everyone watching knows without a doubt, we've just seen God. That's how we prayed. Those of you who were here remember what God did. He totally blew us away. He showed his greatness to the tune of raising almost $17 million out of this little bunch right here. I mean, that's unreal. It's insane. Well, how about your pivotal circumstance and the one that you're walking through with somebody that you care about? Would you like to seize the opportunity in this pivotal to boldly ask God to show his glory in that circumstance? We're going to do that together in just a minute. But I feel like I need to say right here that this is not some magic formula, some magic potion I'm trying to sell you where we say just the right words and we sprinkle them on our pivotal circumstances and God will do his magic because we say so. It doesn't work like that. God is still in control and he doesn't always show up and show out in the way we would script it. You know, there are things that I've prayed and proclaimed, God, show your glory in this. Can you imagine, God, what people would think if they saw you do this? And he hasn't come through like that. That's another sermon for another day, the reasons why God chooses to act in the way he does. But I just want you to know this is not some like special magic formula that we're trying to conjure up and we can tell God what to do. He's still God. But what I know and what I can say with every fiber of belief I have in God, God is looking for people who believe in him enough to invite him to show up in their pivotal circumstances. He's looking. He's waiting for people who trust in him enough to anticipate that he's going to show out in their pivotal. God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. And he's ready to unleash his power on people who have the faith to expect him to show his glory for that purpose alone, for the sole purpose of watching, of telling everybody watching how great God is. Everybody watching would know we've just seen God, no doubt. And after seeing the glory of God, that we and they would bow before him as Lord, as leader, as King, as Savior, forgiver. That's hype when that happens. Well, maybe you're like me. This is a new discovery for you about God. And this is a new way to pray and proclaim boldly that you want God to show his glory in your life and in your pivotal circumstance. So we're going to practice together. I wasn't good at this before and didn't really know how to do it. So we're going to practice it together by singing that song that we sang earlier that boldly proclaims, show us your glory, God. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is a great time for you to boldly proclaim it, boldly ask for it. God, I want you to show up in my pivotal circumstance. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus yet by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, maybe the pivotal circumstance that you're in is your opportunity to put God to the test. Test him in this. Ask him like you've never asked him before to show up and show out in your pivotal circumstance in a way that only he can, in a way that you and everybody watching knows we've just seen God. And nothing will ever be the same. Because when God shows up and shows out and shows his glory, everything changes. Everything changes. Let's stand and do this together. Let's proclaim this together. Knock the roof off this place, telling God, I want to see you show up in my pivotal circumstance.
Here, as we wait, seek your face. your throne upon our praise here in this place. Have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. So show us your glory. Show
keeping the prayer going. People all over this room are asking you, proclaiming you to show your glory in their pivotal circumstance. People online, so many people going through so many things in here, God. We just ask you for your namesake to make your name great so that everybody watching can go, oh, that's how God shows up? That's what God does? God, do that. People all across this room, thank you for being a God like that. Thank you for allowing us to boldly proclaim to you and ask you to show your glory just for your namesake, to make your name great. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to help you stay informed about opportunities for you or your family to stay connected at Relevant. The best way to do that is by getting you on our email list. Just text the word connected to 55444 and we'll get you added to that list. Lastly, at Relevant, we believe that generosity generates transformation. If you feel led to support the work that God is doing in and through Relevant, there are multiple ways that you can give digitally. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.